Hey, it's the local spotlight show here at WJBM Studios in Jerseyville, Illinois, the voice of the Tri-Counties. I am Chris Lorton. I'm your host. And today, before I introduce my guests, I just want to let everyone know that you can go to our website if you missed this or you got other episodes that you've heard about and you want to hear them. You can go to our website, go to Listen on Demand. We got like over 370 on there. However, also we're on YouTube channel, so you can go to WJBM YouTube and see a lot of our interviews there, along with the Outdoor Show and the Spotlight Show. So that being said, I'm really happy to have with me today. I'm bringing in some genius here, some stuff that everybody, this is on the, they're talking on social media, it's always their advertising, there's several, you know, there's all kinds of people pulling you and pushing you, people saying this, people saying that. But I have a lady with me today, and she's, I don't know if she's an expert, but she seems like an expert to me, and I think she probably will be an expert. Katie Disterhoff Watts, and she is working toward her certified nutrition specialist.
Correct. Yeah.
Yes. And Katie, you grew up here in Jerseyville?
That's right. Yep.
And graduated from high school when?
In 2008.
And yeah. Were you and Jenna in the same class?
We sure were. Yes. Yeah. Played basketball together. Yeah. Yeah.
So, you played basketball?
I did.
Yeah. How was your basketball career?
Unfortunately, I have terrible knees. So I was about half of it recovering from ACL surgery.
Oh, shoot.
I did my right knee my sophomore year and then my left knee my senior year. But yeah, enjoyed in between playing basketball.
What was the best thing that you liked to do, you know, when you were playing basketball? Did you like shooting, rebounding?
I was actually in defense. Was
love defense.
My favorite. So one of my favorite things to do was to play point defense, intercept a pass, and just take it down for a layup. That was like, oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
My favorite.
That is great. So you were in high school. When you were in high school, were you thinking nutrition?
Not at all.
No.
No. I mean, I think like many of us in this area, you grow up meat and potatoes, like nutrition's not really top of mind. And definitely when you're young, you get away with a lot of things you don't quite as you get older.
You look pretty young to me.
Oh, well, thank you. I have to work at it. But
well, you eat right, don't you?
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. So, yeah.
So when you went to college, what'd you go to college for?
So, yeah, I went to WashU. I studied system science and engineering. I've always been very interested in chemistry. So that's kind of what I started at was chemistry. And it kind of took a left turn, and I moved into system science engineering, which is kind of like applied mathematics.
Mm-hmm.
So it's how mathematics applies to pretty much any system in the world. So it was a very general science. So I've always kind of been a nerd, if you will, and enjoying that. But it wasn't until my 20s through a series of some of my own health challenges that I really discovered nutrition, and in particular functional medicine and functional nutrition. And it was so, had such a profound impact on me that I knew that one way or another, I was going to end up changing careers and getting into nutrition.
Well, what happened? What was the impact?
So I, after graduating college, started to have a lot of gut challenges, so like heartburn, irritable bowel syndrome. I was also having trouble with like depression and mood and anxiety. And went to my primary care provider at the time and kind of got told, well, you know, everything's fine. You know, here's an antidepressant, some Miralax, and kind of sent me on my way. And I wasn't happy with that. So mm-hmm. I continued to do more research, found actually a naturopathic physician.
They didn't know they were dealing with a scientist,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. A very stubborn scientist at that, too. So I found a naturopathic physician in St. Louis, actually. And she really opened up the world of functional medicine to me.
Yeah.
And getting to the root cause of why.
Can you define for our listeners natural?
Naturopathic.
Naturopathic.
Yeah. So it's a different approach to medicine. It's more focused around how the body functions and how we can bring things into balance so that it naturally heals itself. Rather than kind of taking the conventional approach, which is, okay, we have symptoms, we treat it with medication to try to control the symptoms. Naturopathy is more about addressing the root cause of the dysfunction in the body and helping the body to heal itself.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It takes a little more work.
Yeah. Yeah. And didn't you say you kind of... brain health.
Yes.
Was and why?
Brain health is a big one for me. One, for my own personal experience, like I said, really struggling with depression and anxiety and brain fog, and learning how nutrition and lifestyle affects that really made a profound impact in my life. And then also when I was young, my beloved grandmother, who I was very close with, she developed Lewy body dementia just right before she retired, you know, right when we work for retirement,
yeah.
Right? And she started showing signs, and it was over like a 10 to 15 year period. I just watched her decline. You know, she was such a vibrant, loving, giving woman, and to see her just slowly like become more agitated, you know, not remember loved ones, and, you know, eventually not even be able to communicate. It was very heartbreaking and left a profound impact on me. I don't want anyone to have to suffer like that or experience that. I also personally don't want to experience that. And we're learning so much about how important it is to, you know, nourish yourself properly, you know, get enough sleep, exercise, all these things help to prevent neurocognitive decline.
Dementia.
And dementia, yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
We can take steps.
Right.
To prevent.
Absolutely.
Or lessen.
Absolutely, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have you seen, when we talk about this subject, because it's prevalent, we all know people, you
mm-hmm.
know. What are some basic things that we need to be doing or looking out for ourselves?
Yep.
And to prevent this.
Yeah. So interestingly, with dementia in particular and Alzheimer's, it's actually starting to get coined as type 3 diabetes. And that's because we are learning that there is a strong impact of what's called metabolic function. So basically how well we can create energy in the body,
yeah.
and especially in the brain,
yeah.
from glucose, from the foods that we consume. So blood sugar has a big impact on your cognitive health and brain health down the road.
Glucose and blood sugar are the same thing?
So glucose is technically, it's a type of sugar. There's actually several types of sugar, but it's what we consume in food. We absorb it into the bloodstream, and then yes, once it's in the bloodstream, we call it blood sugar. But it is a glucose molecule.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Hey, if you're just joining us, I have Katie Disterhoff-Watts, who is working toward her certification in nutrient specialist, and. So that being said, do we not want to eat sugar? Stay away from sweets? Is that what we should be doing?
So
to avoid having dementia?
Yeah. So great question. So the body needs glucose to function.
It needs a little sugar.
It needs. So we'll be careful about how we talk about sugar. So maybe if we talk about, so glucose is in a lot of different foods. So not just table sugar, but mm-hmm. it's also what rice and bread breaks down to. There's some in fruits and vegetables, which we know are very healthy for us. So it's present in a lot of different foods.
Okay.
And we need glucose to run the cells in our body.
Okay. So we need some.
We need some. Yeah. And in fact, it's so important that if you don't eat any at all, the liver will manufacture it, because there are some cells in our body that can't run on any other fuel source except glucose. So it is important that we have some. That what we don't want to do is consume more than what our body can handle at any given time.
How do we know that?
So that takes some some of your own scientific mindset.
Well, I just wondered, can we feel it? Is it something that we should know?
Some people can. So I personally can definitely feel when my blood sugar gets too high. I start to get very restless. I start to get kind of anxious, even have a little bit of brain fog. And then a lot of people are familiar with when that glucose starts to crash. So a lot of times when we're in this pattern of consuming too much glucose or too much carbohydrate than what we need, we'll experience that spike and then we experience a crash. And as you're crashing, that's certain, if you've heard the term hangry, you know, where you like, I just have to eat. I'm getting irritable. I'm snapping at people. Like some people get like kind of sweaty and almost nauseous if it's really bad. That's your blood sugar crashing.
Yeah.
And as we know, that's no way to go about your day.
So is it crashing because we ate a bunch of carbohydrates, bread, soda, whatever, and we're up here and we got it too high, and then boom, it's coming back down?
Yeah, exactly. So there's a hormone in the body called insulin that works to shuttle glucose into the cells of the body.
Mm-hmm.
And so when it sees, oh my gosh, there's all this glucose, the pancreas is what creates insulin. It'll dump a lot of insulin into the bloodstream, because it's dangerous when your glucose gets very high. It can start to cause damage in the bloodstream. So we have a ton of insulin that comes in and it sweeps up all that glucose and it kind of overshoots. And when it overshoots, that's when we feel that crash. So to prevent that from happening, we want to use some strategies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one is kind of knowing, just based on your activity levels, how much carbohydrates you need in a day. And that really varies person to person. So someone, you know, who just kind of works a desk job may not need that much carbohydrate. Someone who's an athlete or has like an active job, they'll need more to sustain their energy.
And, I see.
And the other piece is consuming foods, like fiber. Fiber helps to slow the absorption of glucose. So we get more of a steady drip of energy into the bloodstream rather than a big spike and a big crash.
Ah, mm-hmm. So fiber's good.
Fiber is great, yes.
Not just good, fiber
it's great. Fiber is fantastic for a lot of reasons. I mean, I think we know fiber is great for gut health. It helps to keep us regular. It helps to feed beneficial microbes in the gut that keep us healthy. But it also helps to slow down that absorption of glucose, so we have the steady energy and we're not spiking and crashing and causing all of the issues that come with it.
Okay. Speaking of that, what are some things when you talk about carbs? Okay. Mm-hmm. Can we buy any good bread today? I mean, is there...
Yeah, bread is quite a loaded subject, isn't it, these days? And part of that is because there's so many different types of bread. There's a lot of different ways to make it these days.
Yeah, the way they're making it today.
Right.
You know, so it stays on the shelf for a long time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, so what do we do?
So,
do you eat bread?
On occasion.
Really? Okay.
On occasion, yeah. Everyone's a little bit different, right? And there's the issue with gluten these days. A lot of people are gluten sensitive.
Yes.
Gluten is a protein that's in bread that can cause inflammation in the gastrointestinal tract for some people. Some people even have celiac disease, which is a immune condition that's triggered by gluten. Some people have trouble with the carbohydrate content of bread, spikes their blood sugar. Some people have trouble, like you said, a lot of the bread that you buy off the shelf at the grocery store has a lot of additives and preservatives in it that can cause issues for people. So it can be a challenge.
Because bread's everywhere.
Bread is a staple. Yeah,
I mean, we got bread coming left and right.
Yes.
I mean, you go to a restaurant or if you're at home, you're making a sandwich.
I mean,
we've made sandwiches forever.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I, let me tell you what I would do personally.
Yeah.
Because everybody's a little bit different,
like I said.
But so me personally, it's not a big staple of my diet. And mm-hmm. part of that is just because I don't have great blood sugar control. And so I know bread will spike my blood sugar. So it's something that I usually save for maybe after a workout when I know that I need a little bit more of that. Sourdough breads, naturally fermented breads, are going to be the most digestible.
Okay.
And they tend to often, like if you can go to a bakery and get like a true sourdough bread versus, you know, Wonder Bread
yeah.
at the grocery store, it's going to have less additives. It's going to, since it's had a nice slow fermentation, it's going to be more digestible for folks. I also love to point people towards whole grain breads as well, because they have more fiber, more protein, more minerals. So that also is going to have a more stable blood sugar response.
Do you point people toward darker bread? Brown bread versus white bread?
So a lot of times the darker breads do have the whole grains in them. So that's what makes it darker.
Rye bread, is it good?
Rye bread's great. Yeah,
rye bread's better.
Rye bread is great. Yeah, so it usually has more fiber and protein in it to balance out the carbohydrate.
So if I substituted rye bread for all the white bread I eat, that would be better.
That would be better. Yeah.
But not perfect.
I avoid perfect because it's so individual. And that's kind of one of the differences between how a certified nutrition specialist, which is what I do, is a little bit different from a dietitian. A dietitian is kind of following specific nutrition guidelines and applying that to populations. I take a very personalized approach. So I look at, you know, your individual biochemistry, your genetics, your lifestyle, you know, how active, how stressed are you? So, you know, I try not to make like general recommendations mm-hmm. for swapping out.
Okay, so we'll just talk about me.
Yeah, there we go. You can get your own like personal nutrition session here.
Yeah. So is that, you know, basically what you do in your profession?
Yes.
Is people come to you and you tell them, you know, like what's going on in their life, if they just help them
absolutely
get on the right track.
Yeah. So I have a lot of people coming to me. Either they have, you know, they have some kind of condition and they've been through the conventional medical system and they're just not, you know, they're just getting a lot of pharmaceuticals and not really feeling better. And I can help them find some diet and lifestyle strategies to support their conditions. Or I get a lot of folks that come into me and they're like, I just don't feel good. You know, I went to the doctor, all my blood work looks good. I'm just a little bit more tired. I'm not sleeping great. I don't have the energy I used to. So we will, I leverage a lot of functional lab work. So doing some deep dives into lab work and really understanding what's going on in the body, and then developing very personalized diet, lifestyle, and supplement strategies to help to try to bring things back in balance.
Can we talk just for the listeners?
Yeah.
In general, because a lot of them won't be able to necessarily make an appointment with you.
Totally.
But we've got a few minutes left. So let's talk about. And also, we're going to do a second episode because we got a lot to cover. So in this episode, just to finish up, what are some suggestions that you can do in general
mm-hmm.
for people,
mm-hmm.
things to do and not to do in order to make themselves healthier
yeah.
and feel better?
Absolutely. So A place I start with everyone is making sure they're getting enough protein and fiber with each meal. Protein is incredibly important for a lot of people just think of, oh, protein, muscle growth. But protein is the building block of everything that's in your body, including like enzymes that help us digest our food, including hormones and neurotransmitters. So how we feel, how we think. So it's incredibly important to get enough
protein. Give me some good examples of protein.
So good examples of protein are going to be your meats and seafoods. So lean beef, chicken, lean pork, seafood like salmon, whitefish, clams, oysters. Dairy is a good source of protein. Okay. Eggs are a good source of protein. And beans from the vegetable sides, beans are a pretty good source of protein as well. But they are the protein in there is not as bioavailable as it is from your animal sources. So I always tell people to have a little bit of both, ideally. And it's good to get diversity, too. So kind of try to get a little bit of everything. That way you get other vitamins and minerals to accompany the protein that you're consuming.
When we're talking about eating, okay, do you suggest to eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner? I mean, I've kind of gotten away from that myself, but I used to eat like 5 eggs every day, you know, in the morning. But now Brenda goes to pickleball, so I skip breakfast.
That's another one that's really individual. I know fasting is really popular right now as a way to manage
weight. What do you
think
about fasting?
Again, it's a tool, and it's very I only apply it to specific people. So I see
you can't say it generally.
Yeah, exactly. I see a lot of women who come to me, you know, they've put on a few pounds and they turn to fasting. The problem is fasting is a stressor on the body.
It is
a stressor, yes. And so if you already have a lot of stress in your life, that can sometimes cause a little more harm than good. However, we do know there are a lot of benefits associated with fasting, too. It has been shown in a lot of studies to reduce inflammation. It helps to it's a way of reducing calorie consumption. So if weight loss is your goal, it can be helpful. But a lot of the research we have done is done in young men, and that doesn't apply to the whole population, right? So it applies individually, if it's good or not.
Well, believe it or not, at this point, we're going to close this episode
out. Went so fast.
I know. But we're coming back because we're going to talk about some tips and guidelines and maybe touch on some of those things out there that are getting prescribed to help lose weight and some pros and cons with those.
Sounds good.
All right. So, Katie Disterhoff-Watts, we'll be back next episode. Thanks for coming in.
My pleasure.
And we'll be back.